Patrick Dolan joins us for our shortened show today. Patrick, are those headphones working at least a little bit better here?
No. We had only the right one works.
We had some drama in the commercial break.
Well, you need better equipment.
Well, you know, that's not me.
I know it's not you.
My headphones work great, Patrick. Yeah. So, Patrick Dolan is an employment lawyer at Conti and Dolan, yes, of Karen Conti fame. And she does the family stuff. You do the employment law stuff, right?
That's right. I do employment.
I'm sure so many people are like, we know, John. But if there's a new listener, I always like to remind folks.
Thank you.
What sorts of employment law things are there? Give us kind of a laundry list of things you deal with.
Sure. So anything in the workplace, starting with the hiring process and the contract employment agreement, any sort of disciplinary action that could lead to termination. It might be a concern of yours regarding discrimination like age, race, gender, something mm-hmm. like that. The termination process, if they followed their own procedures in terminating you. Again, if you have a concern about why they did that. And then separation pay. And also non-competes. I do a lot of non-compete work and a lot of stuff regarding all different sorts of equity, too. So anything to do with workplace and compensation issues.
Okay. The big story this week, and we talked about it earlier in the week.
Yep.
It was this week, right?
Yep.
Where there was a plan that had been scuttled or delayed that would allow Chicago employees, people that work in Chicago, hourly employees, yep. a mandated 12 days off was the original proposal.
That was.
Some sick and some just paid off time for yes. any reason.
Yes.
There's been a compromise, and now it's made its way through the committee in a 12-2 vote to settle on 10 days off. Before we get to this plan, can you remind me where we are in terms of Illinois paid time off for hourly workers? Because something changed this year or for next year, right?
Yeah, it's going to change in January to paid time off for any reason. So it'll be up to 40 hours of paid time off. It can be accrued at the at the beginning of the year every month, mm-hmm. or an employer could give you the whole 40 hours right at the beginning. But it's for any reason, so it's not sick time.
Is it currently sick time? It has to be used for sick time?
Yeah, it's currently sick time.
And that's what took effect this year, that you got 5 days sick time.
Yep.
Now it'll be changed to whatever you want to use it for.
That's right. And that's a big change. There's not a lot of places in this country that have paid leave for any reason.
Okay. And is there a minimum amount of hours you have to work as an hourly, or are you accruing this time no matter what? Like,
yeah,
even if you work 5 hours a week, no, you got to have a minimum, right?
Yeah, you do. And you also have to work for a very short period of time before you start accruing that. But
okay. It
applies to, frankly, almost every employee.
Okay. And in Chicago, if this gets through the city council, what will this change be? What will Chicago employees have that's different?
More days.
More days.
So it'll be 10 days total. 5 paid sick, 5 paid time off. That's the proposal. That's now before the city council. We think it's going to be voted on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, we'll see if that's how it turns out, but that's how it exists right now.
Some interesting little nuggets that I think help get this through. Businesses that have fewer than 50 employees, which is a lot of businesses.
Yep.
Will not have to compensate employees for unused paid time leave if they exit that position. Whereas now, the rest, if you're a salaried employee accruing time off, if you leave, you get paid, right?
Yeah.
Or they fire you.
Yeah, and so that's a big carve out. So that's a win for the business community, small business community.
Right.
Which is completely understandable. I mean, it's a pretty,
pretty
heavy lift for those small businesses.
Right. And we kind of talked about this on Monday or Tuesday when you came on Your Money Matters. I know a lot of salaried employees are thinking, well, I get time off, and so should these workers, and I totally applaud that thought. But when a salaried employee takes a day off, their work is often either picked up by their existing coworkers, or that person did enough work beforehand or will do a work when they come back. A small business employee, if they are paying for a worker to have the day off, for the most part, like if it's a barista or a server at a restaurant, they have to find someone and fill that time, and that is twice as much money for the small businesses, right?
Yeah, hence the carve-out, and that's why the pushback by the small business community. So initially, the issue was whether a lot more days would be granted to employees, and that has just steadily come down mm-hmm. because of the pushback by the businesses. And so I think small business apparently has achieved a compromise on that.
Yeah, and the compromise is only for like when the employee leaves the business.
Right.
that they won't have to have pay that accrued time. They're still going to have to. Small business, if you have less than 50 employees, if this passes city council, you're giving these people these days off if they want it.
And I think the expectation is it will pass. And so, yeah, we're only talking about what you pay them when they leave.
Okay. This is a big deal for a lot of workers, isn't it?
It's a really big deal.
Is this unusual in Chicago?
Well, it's unusual everywhere. I mean, you know, we don't have a lot. Again, there are three states, Illinois, Nevada, and Maine, that have paid time off mandated for any reason. That shows you how rare it is.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of large cities in this country that have, you know, that sort of paid time off as well. But most places don't. I mean, the movement before has been compensation for paid sick leave. That's where we've seen a lot of states adopt that in the last 2, 3, 4 years. Not a lot have adopted paid leave for any reason. That's what, John, I think that's what's coming next.
Mm.
I think that's going to be kind of sweeping through those same states.
For anyone that is a salaried employee, they already benefit from PTO. This doesn't change anything. You don't get extra days off unless the company decides it. This is just setting a minimum bar.
It's a minimum bar, right. So if they don't, if the company does not offer that, that's the bar that they have to offer.
Okay.
But you're right, it really doesn't apply to most salaried employees.
I think that might be kind of what Terry's getting at. Let's go to the phone lines. Terry, was that kind of your question, or do you have a different one?
I think so. I just want to reiterate the question. Thank you for taking my call, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, if an employer offers vacation time, paid vacation time, are they exempt from the Paid Leave for All Workers Act? In other words, that's not additional, right?
Yeah.
It's not. It's a it's a minimum threshold that they have to reach under the ordinance.
Yeah, so if you already have 5 sick days and 5 a week vacation, essentially, you're not getting bonus time.
You're not, right.
But I mean,
yeah.
But I guess, Terry, what I
just want to clarify, sorry to interject, but is no, the place where I work, there is no paid sick time. You have vacation time. If you have a sick day, you need your your vacation time.
Whoa. Oh, so you have a policy that's use it however you want to use it for X amount of days?
Yeah. For example, if you're there for a year, I think it is, when I started it was a year, you get 2 weeks.
Okay.
But you don't get sick days. If I call in sick, for example, I wake up and I'm not feeling well and I call in sick, I'm docked a vacation day.
Hmm. I guess that would be you get 10 days, use it how you see fit.
Yeah. And so, well, this particular law that's supposed to go into effect if it passes at the end of this year is 5 paid sick days and 5 vacation or paid time off days for any reason. Mm. So, but we already have protections for paid sick leave. We already have mandated protections for paid sick leave.
But can a company say, instead of saying, you know, I want to give you 5 sick days and 5 vacation, you're just getting 10 days.
That's correct. That's correct.
And that's legal? That's okay to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, Terry, you said that if you're sick one day, you're required to give a doctor's note?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're docked.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It goes against your vacation time. Yeah. Not backdoor, but docked. You're dinged for it.
Well, I don't like that, Terry. That doesn't seem fair, but it might be legal.
Me neither. Quite honestly, yeah. I'm not real happy
about it. What happens if you have a vacation planned in October and you get sick in June for 4 days and you just lost your vacation? That doesn't seem fair.
No, it's not fair.
Exactly.
I'm sorry,
that's
Terry.
That's exactly the point.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
me too. All right.
We'll rally for Terry. Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm on Team Terry here.
Yeah, so am I.
I like it when they're more like, this is for this and this is for this.
Right, exactly.
And I think that it's 3 days if you're sick, or an employer can ask for a note.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. 312-981-7200 if you have any other questions. One of the other sticking points about this, I know that but prevented it from passing originally, was fines that small businesses have to do. Some of this, let's be honest, some of these small businesses that have 1, 2, 3 employees, this is some complicated, it may not seem complicated, but you got to keep track. Accrual of time. You need to buy some software that gets you on that. If you mess something up, the fines were pretty stiff. Now it is $1,000 and no more than $3,000 as a fine. That's still a lot for a small business if they make like an honest mistake.
It is. It is, and I know that that number has been pushed down as well, and is negotiations have gone on. But that's still a steep penalty for, you know, businesses with just a handful of employees.
Right. 773 texting in. Hi, this is Mike. Hello, Mike. Love your radio show. That's how you get read on the text line. 773 wants to know, I have a question. I work for... I'm not going to say the employer's name.
Okay,
I'll say it off air. A public entity.
Okay.
Okay. A government entity.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm forced to work overtime, pressured by supervisor. I'm required to work overtime. Do I have any protection not to work overtime?
Well, they can. They can't schedule it to work overtime.
They can schedule it to, okay.
Yeah, but they obviously need to pay you.
Right.
But you saying I will not work overtime, that's going to be a rub with the employer. If for business reasons they need you to work longer, you know, then they have to pay you, but they can schedule you for longer than that.
They can force you to work overtime?
Well, if business mandates that, if their business needs justify it, then they can schedule you for longer and, you know, they have to pay you for it.
But there are limits on how many hours you can work consecutively or how many days you can work consecutively,
yes.
Right?
Yes. I'm just talking about if, you know, overtime's over 40 per week. There's no daily overtime in Illinois, right? So if they're scheduled to work 45 or something like that, but there's limits in terms of the total number per week, and you can't work seven consecutive days either. You need to have a day off.
Okay.
So, but if they want to schedule you for more, then, you know, and it doesn't exceed those limits, then they can do it, but they have to pay you.
630 wants to know about this new law. Does this apply to nonprofits? I don't know. I don't see why it wouldn't.
I don't see why it wouldn't either, and we don't know. I mean, we don't know what the final law is going to look like, but I would imagine it would.
How many hours per week do you have to work? We'll have to read the fine details on it, but generally speaking, that's like a 30 is the threshold.
Yeah, right.
And it's like an average 30. Like if it's 40 one week, 20 the next, and that's consistent, you would probably qualify for
that.
That's
right.
Okay, a lot of things going on here. Tell you what, let's take a break. I got a lot of texts coming in. Would love for you to call in, too. 312-981-7200. Be like Terry. Call the phone line. We love our Terry. All right, let's take a commercial break. More with Patrick Dolan. Oh, you can reach him at 312-332-7800.
That's it.
Conti Dolan Law. 312-332-7800. More after this on WGN. All right, getting a lot of questions. This is Let's Get Legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association about the new law that is going to, if it's passed by the city council, require that city employees, hourly employees, or I guess this would apply to salary, but most people already are covered under this.
Yeah. And when you say city employees, I mean employees who work in Chicago.
Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. Yes. Anyone who works in Chicago. 5 sick days for when you're sick. 5 days for whatever you want, vacation, mental health, whatever the case may be.
Yes.
And a lot of people are wondering, like, well, do you have to prove you're sick? What I imagine is it's like any other job where if you're sick, you call in, you're going to get granted that sick day. It would at 3 days, there's a trigger that an employer could ask for a note, correct?
Yes. Okay. And that's normally the case. It's not just, you know, I'm sick, I can't come in today or this morning or whatever. You know, that's normally not, you know, a mandated note from your doctor, right? That's not really what we're talking about here.
Right.
Yeah.
This is an interesting little exchange on the 309, wondering if there should be pushback from healthcare as well. How are we supposed to serve patients if anyone can take 5 days off at a time? I responded like a lot of healthcare jobs already have pay time off, like nurses and such. And I would assume that for the you can use this however you want days, those 5 days, like any job, you have to schedule them in advance. The 309 said under this new law, employees can take the time whenever they want. They don't have to schedule it. I even read the nitty gritty of it. I'd be surprised. And I would imagine the city council would leave that up to the businesses to determine how those 5 days are distributed. They just have to reasonably give you those 5 days and not put too many restrictions on them, right?
I think that's a good way to put it. They have to give you an opportunity to use them, but how you use them is a conversation.
Right.
Okay? That's not like a mandated thing. You can't just say, I'm starting tomorrow, I'm going on vacation, I'm taking my five days. Right. That is not the way it's going to be. And, you know, so there has to be a conversation about that.
Right. There's a lot of people talking about sick time.
And just to be clear, we don't know what this is ultimately going to look like.
Right. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't been passed by city council.
I want to be clear.
So is this new law sick pay or mandatory PTO? My place of employment has 0 sick days and people show up sick because they don't want to mess around with any planned vacation time. That's why I don't like companies that go, you get X amount of days, use them for however you want. Delineating between the two makes you feel much more safe. Staying at home if you're sick, which is what you should do.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the many reasons why this law, I think, will be passed and will go into effect.
Right, to kind of delineate them.
Yes.
We have the news coming up in a minute and a half. Teresa wanted to share something, though. Hey, Teresa, thanks for listening.
Hi, thank you. We talked about mandatory overtime. I worked for a transportation company, a.k.a. an airline, and We knew when we were hired that you would have to put up with mandatory overtime should the operations fail that day.
Yeah, that makes sense,
so,
right?
You had to stay there because if a flight canceled, what are you going to do with those people? Tell them I'm going home?
Yeah, that's true.
So perfectly legal.
We had to stay there, and we did. However, we were paid overtime for any day over 8 hours.
Ah, well, that's a company decision. In Illinois, it's over 40 hours within a week.
Okay.
Teresa, thanks for the phone call.
Okay.
I go against
okay,
news.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the perspective. And yeah, I guess that makes sense. Certain jobs, there's going to be overtime, and they probably have to reasonably or tell you in the contract when you're signing it or in the handbook, this is what our policy is, and you got to do it.
That's right.
Okay, we got to take a news break. 312-981-7200. Please call in with any questions, comments, concerns you may have. And leave the concerns for another day. 720 WGN, 136 here. Patrick Dolan right over there from Conti and Dolan Law. We had a good text. I'm trying to find it right now. But basically, the thought was it was about age discrimination.
Okay.
Someone applying for a hotel job, age 74 years old. The person interviewing was in their 30s, kept on asking a bunch of questions like, what sports are you into? What sports do you play? This hotel was not a sports hotel.
Yeah.
Almost kind of trying to figure out, it seemed to this texter, that they were trying to ascertain how mobile they were, et cetera, et cetera.
Clearly.
That's no good, right?
No, it's not. I mean, the question should only be about whether the person can perform the functions of the job.
So they could say, can you climb two flights of stairs? Because that might be part of the job.
If it is genuinely part of the job,
right,
then yes. That's all they can talk about. That's
right.
What you got to talk about. Here's what the job requires. Can you do it?
Do you think there's a lot of interviews that are illegal that
most,
are conducted?
Most.
You think so?
I think most. And I think because I'm not saying intentionally.
Right.
You know, but I think it's a lack of training. It's people maybe look at somebody and they think, you know what? I don't think you can do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start asking these questions.
Or I don't want you to do this job.
Or I don't want to. Right.
Yeah.
A preconceived notion of
right.
whether you can or something. There are a lot of bad hiring questions.
There are a ton of them.
Yeah. Because the permissible questions are so narrow.
Right.
And when you can ask them, depends on where you are in the hiring process too. You can ask a lot more questions after you've offered someone a job conditionally upon showing you that they can do the job or something like that. So you can really only ask very limited questions before you even offer somebody a job.
Well, what are the consequences? Let's say I didn't get a job and I look back at my interview and I said, oh boy, they asked me about like, can you run to first base in less than 10 seconds? Clearly trying to gauge something, or I'm trying to think of a better example, something about my age, like how often do you update your TikTok page? And if they asked a bunch of questions like that, that had nothing to do with the job. I mean, what's my recourse? There's
you know
not
the,
much, is there?
The problem is people talk to me about that, and I say, do you know who was hired? And, you know, no. And so there's like it's really tough because you don't have a lot of the facts that you need at that point, but it is illegal, and there are damages suffered if the person does not get the job because, you know, they were asked a bunch of questions that aren't relevant to the job. And so because they didn't like the answers, the company doesn't hire them. But there is damage there. You didn't get the job. So you lost that compensation. And in a tough job market, it could take people weeks, months to get a job. So that's a big deal. Those are the damages.
What if, I mean, couldn't the employer say, oh, no, we didn't hire this person because of X, not because of Y?
They do that all the time.
Right.
And my job
yes.
is to show whether it's actually legitimate.
How?
Or not.
How do you do that?
Because, well, it depends on where you are in the process. Hiring's tough because maybe they didn't even fill that job yet.
Right.
But you start by exactly what this person was talking about, which is what were you asked about? And then you can make some sort of reasonable inferences about, you know, why they were asking those questions. The sports question is a weird question.
That's a very strange question.
Yeah, it's very weird. And what the person should be asking, I don't know what the job, there are a lot of jobs at a hotel that requires physicality.
Right.
Can you do it? You know, you have to climb up and downstairs. You have to carry this. You have to carry laundry or luggage or, you know, whatever we're talking about. Is there a restriction? But that's only after you conditionally offer them the job.
Oh, so even in the first interview, you can't ask that?
No. You can't. You have to understand. You have to get basic qualifications, but not go into great detail about whether they can do the job with or without an accommodation. That comes next. If a company has reached the threshold of, okay, it looks like you can do the job, we want to offer you the job, then they say, can you do this? Do you need an accommodation to do this job? Because otherwise, way too many people would be cut out before that conditional job offer is even made.
I'm thinking that every single person listening to this right now has been in part of an illegal interview now.
That's probably the case, John. Because honestly, no, seriously,
yeah,
it probably
I think so.
Is.
I think everyone could probably think of an example.
Oh, I know.
They
asked me about this.
Yes.
You know, they can't. And you know what? You don't even know what to do about it in that time, other than some people are like, why are you asking me? That has nothing to do with my job. But then that turns it sour. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, you're not going to get hired because you're a quote unquote problem.
I mean, I've been asked about my personal life.
Okay, that's inappropriate.
Right. Yeah. But sometimes it's on the way out, right? It's not in the room.
Okay.
It's no one here, by the way. But it's on the walk to the door, right?
I know. So, do you have kids?
What do you do?
Know?
Right.
You know?
And some of that's like, maybe that's not malicious.
You have to pick them up from school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
No, seriously, I know.
Tell us about your wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I mean, there are definitely...
Inappropriate questions, John.
Right, but also, I don't know if it's always malicious. It just might have been... Well, okay.
I think there's some intention behind a lot of those questions.
I agree, 100%.
Yeah.
And it's got to be hard because you're trying to ascertain whether someone is going to be a good employee and someone that fits in with corporate culture. But there are rules and limits.
There are lots of rules, and if they're properly trained, they should follow the rules.
So I want to go back.
Okay.
Let's say someone feels like they were not hired because of an inappropriate question that exposed some pre-bias that the interviewer had. Okay, and they want to push through, and they're going to hire you to help seek out some damages, or maybe they're on just a crusade to teach this company a lesson. What power do you have? Are you able to find out who they hired? Are you able to get that information?
I can not without filing a lawsuit. However, you know, based on my experience, I could certainly, you know, make some pretty strong inferences. And that is, if my client tells me that they were asked these 8-10 questions that had really nothing to do with the job, I can infer that what they're actually asking about, you know, implies age discrimination or
right.
something like that. I don't have to know all the answers at that point. I just have to know that the questions are inappropriate of my 74-year-old client. Okay. And so I'm like, why are you asking these questions? And so I don't have to know all the answers at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not be able to get all of the answers until a lawsuit is filed or we file a charge with the EEOC for age discrimination. Then they can get that information. So yes, there's a limited amount at that time.
What's the first step for you? Sending a letter?
Yes. I get all the information from my client. Then I lay it out in a letter to the company. And I say, this is what happened. My client wasn't hired. You know, he or she is suffering a damage as a result, lost wages, etc. You know, let's try to settle this. We don't have to file a charge of discrimination.
And does a settlement sometimes happen?
Most of the time it happens.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-332-7800. Did I get those two right? Did I mix them up? 312-981-7200. That one I know.
Okay.
That's us.
Okay. You want me to tell you what mine?
I have a long day ahead of me. 312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's number. All right. We'll do one more quick text
sure.
one before we go to this break. I once applied at insert big box retailer here.
Okay.
If anyone ever calls in, I don't ever say the name of the employer. Fairly young teacher during Christmas, just trying to make a little extra cash. Cool. The male interviewer told me I wasn't fit for the job, overqualified. I don't know how many people I've heard that said they've been told they were overqualified for a job as a reason they didn't get the job. Is that legal?
In and of itself, sure. Like if a company says you're overqualified for this job, what do they really mean? You're too expensive. You're too, because maybe you're too old. Like there's so many.
So saying the words you're overqualified, fine.
Is not necessarily illegal.
But
that
let's pull
correct.
Back the onion
you
layers and see
to.
What happens.
That's what employment law is, pulling back the onion. That's what it is.
That should be your slogan. I'll pull back your onion for you.
Well, okay, maybe not just like that. But it's not going to be on like a T-shirt or something, John. Okay. But yeah, that's what we're talking about. Because no one ever says, I'm not hiring you because of your age or your race or your
right.
sexual orientation.
Usually not, no.
usually not, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. That's my job.
I'll tell you that one in a commercial break. Anyways, okay. Diane's got a question. We'll get to her after this quick commercial break here on Let's Get Legal. 312-981-7200 of Let's Get Legal ahead of Northwestern football from Wrigley Field. That's fun to say.
That's exciting.
That is cool. I love when they do that.
Yeah.
Diane's got a great question
okay.
in that I guessed the answer and I was wrong. So, Diane, what is your question?
Yes, my husband was unemployed and he's applying for jobs online and they all ask you for your birthday, which seems illegal, and he can't get past that page. And
it's like a required field.
I told him, I'll just take 10 years off and pretend it was a typo, but it's like, what do you do?
Well, I like that answer. Oh, so you're saying like it's a required field. I can't hit the
yes,
next button. Well, what do you think about that, Patrick?
No, you're not. You should not ask somebody. You're not allowed to ask somebody their age on an application. Only if it's a bona fide occupational qualification, like it's required.
Like a pilot.
Like a pilot, right.
Where there's mandatory
retirement.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. Mandatory, right. In a few other jobs, we're talking about like the military.
FBI.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain things. But if it's not, absolutely not. At the application stage, no.
Diane, don't say the name of the company. Is this one particular company or is this
a
job site?
Oh, no. It's, I would say like it's 99% of them that he applies for online.
And there is it through a job website
yeah,
that then distributes?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, shouldn't ask.
They shouldn't do that. Well, what are you supposed to do?
No, I know. It doesn't seem like that's legal, but...
Let's file a giant class action lawsuit, Diane.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and I do have PTO days, and I love it. Best thing
good.
Since sliced bread.
Right? Everyone should have that. I hope they do.
And I can buy a week.
You can
and
buy
then if
one.
I don't use it, I get the money back at the end of the year.
Boom, boom, boom. Nice job,
good.
Diane.
I love that.
You'll use it or lose it.
I want your job.
That's great.
Yeah, I have 7 weeks now. They give you more every 5 years. You stay there.
Diane!
Good job.
Well, you've earned it. You're showing loyalty to that place. Good
yep,
for you.
Exactly.
Do you love your job or do you just love your 7 weeks?
Both. Both. Say both.
Good question.
Thanks, Diane. We appreciate the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
I wish I had a better answer for her because I bet those big sites do require...
I'm going to go on them now. Maybe I'll...
And sue them?
Maybe.
Well, here's my question.
Because
could it be the site is asking for your information, but it's not included as part of resumes they send out?
I don't know.
I don't know, right?
I was actually thinking that it may be an occupational qualification for some positions that they're trying to fill. If this is just like a, you know what I mean? But it's probably inappropriate for 9 out of 10. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that just seems
no.
Weird.
It should not be on there. That's what I'm just trying to think. Why? Why?
Right. For sure. 312-981-7200. We have a lot of questions coming in about the new law. We don't, and I just want to say, I'm not going to read a bunch of them more for Patrick because the law isn't written yet.
No.
As far as I know,
it's a proposed law.
We'll have Patrick back on.
Yeah,
Once it is passed.
It's just a little dangerous to answer questions about a law that has not been fully written or passed yet.
Well, a lot of people are telling me I'm wrong saying that the PTO, you'd have to follow certain rules of a business about when you could take it. And the way you described it to me, Patrick, is, and again, we're speculating, but the city or the government entity that passed a law, they give you like the floor. Like
yeah.
You must give employees this many days.
Right.
But they give leeway to employers
to apply it
to determine how they do
it. So long as they don't go under the floor. You know, yes, they have to. They're not going to write down every single, you know, possibility about how it's implemented. They just say you have to offer this.
And that's why lawyers exist, because the government doesn't write every part of every law, every rule.
Yeah, and most employers say it's a discussion between the employer and employee. So as long as you get your days, we'll talk about when you can use them.
Right. We're entering.
But we should come back to talk about
will.
It once it's passed.
Don't worry. I'll bring
you
back,
okay.
Patrick.
Thanks, John.
You're great on there.
Oh, thanks,
John. What else are you getting calls about in the office? What's big these days? I know we talked about jobs numbers recently. They were a little bit more muted this past week, but still a pretty advantageous job market out there, or are things tightening a little bit?
Things are tightening. I'm seeing some, you know, group layoffs of some large employers in a variety of industries. So, you know, there's still layoffs going on, large number of layoffs.
Mm-hmm. What should people be thinking about if they're going to be, unfortunately, in that situation?
If they're part of a group, there's some federal legal protection as far as how much notice they can be given, right? We've talked about
Warren
that.
The
Warren Act. The Warren Act,
which for years I thought what you were saying was the Warren Act.
Yes, that's right.
Warren, it stands for something.
Worker Adjustment in Retraining Notification Act. I knew I would get it out.
Yeah.
It's not like some guy named Warren or some woman named Warren.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I mean, there's protections there. And just make sure you're treated, you know, the same as anybody else, unless you were included in the group for some, you know, reason that could be discrimination or something like that.
If you're laid off and you get a severance or you don't get a severance, read your handbook, make sure that it was there or not there. Or if other people you know have been laid off from the company, you can ask them, because if they give everyone a severance but not you, that's no good.
Yeah, that's right. And I actually had a question like that yesterday, and they didn't know why they weren't included, and they were, you know, female over 50, and everybody else got one, and they were a bunch of guys. So, you know, that's something to look at, too. Why not you?
Question wants to know, are vacation and sick time paid if they're not used when you get laid off?
So, we have to parse out. So
yes.
Vacation is accrued and used vacation must be paid out when you leave. There's no requirement that it's rolled over to the next year. Illinois is a use it or lose it state. But when you leave, employers in Illinois must pay you for accrued unused vacation days.
So not
in terms of sick time.
So some companies that do roll it over, if you leave, you get all of that.
Yeah, a lot of companies will roll it over and bank it, like no more than like 20
Five
or 30,
days, yes.
Whatever it is, right? But they have to pay it all out when you, no matter what the circumstances are of your departure.
I remember I left a job once, and the employer paid off my sick days that I had accrued. Hmm. Not my sick days, excuse me, my vacation days.
Oh, okay.
And I was so naive, I was like, because I was going to a different
job. They thought you were
doing me a favor?
Yes. They're not.
And they kind of framed it that way.
Oh.
And they were like, you've done a really good job, and we wish you well, but, you know, we want to pay you this time. And I was like, that is
so
genuine and nice.
They had you right where they wanted you, John.
Right, exactly. One last question.
Sure.
And we got to go here. Does someone on SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance, have to tell a future employer that they're on that if they're working very small amount of hours? Do you not know if they're working a small amount of hours?
I'm not sure what the threshold is for SSDI.
Let's copy that one and we'll look at that another day.
Sure.
Patrick Dolan, we appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, John. Good to see you. 312-332-7800
to reach him.